to speak about this coming week, Chukas. Until now, in the past few Sedras, the Torah has spoken about the sins of the people, whether it was Korach or the Meraglim. In this week's Sedra, we hear about the sins of the leaders. The chait of Mei Meriva, where Moshe Rabbeinu did something wrong, and we'll see that there are many different opinions what it was, and in securing water for the Jewish people from the rock, and because of whatever it was he did wrong, he and Aaron were decreed that they couldn't go into Eretz Yisrael and not bring the Jewish people into Eretz Yisrael and would have to die in the desert. It's interesting that the Torah prefaced this sin with two parshios. The parsha of Paraduma, which really didn't happen then. It was given way before the second year when they went out of Mitzrayim was the parsha of Paraduma. Before they erected the Mishkan, they were given the mitzvah of Paraduma already. And some say it was given already in Mora, before Matan Torah. So why did the Torah write it over here? And secondly, the death of Miriam also preceded the chait of Mei Meriva. I was thinking that perhaps the Torah is telling us the following. It's hard to understand God's laws. They're beyond rationale, beyond complete understanding. The most obvious example is Paraduma. Totally defies rationale and logic. And it also is hard to understand God's judgments in this world. How he deals in the world. Who dies and who lives and who prospers and who suffers. Very difficult to understand. And these two parshios represent both of these things. Paraduma represents the fact that it's hard to understand God's laws. And the death of Miriam defies understanding. Why, of everyone, Miriam didn't sin? Why did she die and not be able to go into Eretz Israel? In fact, most of the women who didn't sin, not by the sin of the golden calf and not by the sin of the spies, went into Eretz Israel. Many widows entered Eretz Israel. The Gzeira was only on the men who were between 20 and 60. They all died out. But the women of that generation went into Eretz Israel. And of all of them, Miriam doesn't go in. It doesn't say she sinned. It doesn't tell us. It defies reason and logic. It's a mystery. Miriam dies. God knows when people's lives are up and when he takes them. And Miriam's death is a mystery. So the Torah wanted us to know. Now I'm going to present you with a sin of Moshe Rabbeinu from some law that God gave him that he deviated. And just like I told you in the beginning of the Sedra, to understand God's laws are very difficult. And the punishment he's going to get is not to go into Eretz Yisrael. No matter what he did, is it that serious? God's judgments are not rational. So before we are presented with the sin of Moshe Rabbeinu, which involves two things. One is not understanding what he did wrong, and understanding the severity of the punishment, God put in the Torah as a preface the parsha of Paraduma and the parsha of Mises Miriam to get us ready for this scenario. Okay, I think it's a reasonable idea. Okay, now, so what happened over here? What, and why did Miriam die? So I was thinking that the purpose of a leader, the ultimate purpose of a Jewish leader is to guide, lead, direct the people towards God. They do that by teaching them what to do, what's right and what's wrong, by giving them an example of how to develop midos tovos so they emulate God and become like God. The leader has to be a good example of midos tovos. And the leader teaches Torah, and basically, bottom line, the leader is supposed to connect the people with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. to make them cleave to God, which is the ultimate purpose of everything. So the leader's purpose is to achieve and help the people achieve their purpose in this world as individuals and as a nation. And Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam were the Gimel Parnosim Tovim. They were the leaders in what's it called for the ones who went out of Egypt. And they couldn't accomplish that. They couldn't bring them to have that close connection to God where they'd be able to come into Eretz Israel. They weren't able to cleave to God and to have that close relationship. They died in the Midbar because of all the sins that they committed. So for us, to a certain degree, they were failed leaders. They failed as leaders. And the truth will be that that was only temporary. Because it says that when there is Tchias HaMesim, when the dead become alive, Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron will lead the Jewish people, and Miriam probably too, will lead the Jewish people into Eretz Yisrael. In this world, they weren't successful. But eventually, they will reach their goal, and they will bring the Dor HaMidbar, the generation that died in the desert, into Eretz Yisrael by Tchias HaMesim. And in fact, the Medrash says the following, that what it can be compared to a king's shepherd. He's a shepherd that shepherds the king's flock. And the flock was hijacked. Okay? Was captured, was taken away by hijackers. And the shepherd wanted now to come and enter the king's palace. So the king said, if I let you into my palace now, people will say that you left the flock behind and you were responsible and you were negligent. Where's the flock? You didn't bring them back to my palace. So I'm not going to let you into the palace until you can bring the flock in with you. So too HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, if I let you come into Eretz Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu, people are going to say that you were negligent, you should have brought the people with you, and you didn't, you weren't able to do that. And therefore you can't come into my palace, into Eretz Yisrael now, you stay with the flock, and when the time comes and there's a resurrection of the dead, then you'll bring them into Eretz Yisrael and fulfill your mission. So we see that the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't go into Eretz Yisrael is not necessarily because he sinned, but because he wasn't able to fulfill the mission with the people that he led from Mitzrayim, and therefore he couldn't come into Eretz Yisrael. So what's with the sin? So I was thinking, and I don't have any proof one way or the other, right, that perhaps the Rabbanu Shel Olam either staged this whole sin, and we find in Midrashim that it was called an alila. An alila means a libel. That the Rabbanu Shel Olam staged this whole thing to show why Moshe and Aaron couldn't go into Eretz Yisrael. After the people realized that Miriam wasn't going in, right, then the question was very big. I mean, okay, Miriam, whatever, but Moshe and Aaron? So the Rabban Shem staged this whole thing to present to them a somewhat of an understanding of why they couldn't go in, which we'll get to in a second. Or, another possibility, since Moshe and Aaron were the main leaders, active leaders, God gave them a chance that perhaps you can bond to these people and bring them to a level where you'll be able to lead them in Eretz Yisrael on your level, what you should have done for the people in the desert, but you weren't able. But then it'll be clear that it wasn't your fault, it was their fault, because you were able to bring these people to the level where you'll be able to bring them into Eretz Yisrael the way that you could have brought the people in the desert, right, on your level, and that will basically correct the problem of you going into Eretz Yisrael, because it'll be clear that you were able to raise their level to the point where you could bring them into Eretz Yisrael on the level where you'll build the Beis HaMikdash, it'll be eternal, there'll never be any galus. What would have been had Moshe Rabbeinu led the people into Eretz Yisrael? It would have been totally miraculous, just like it was in the desert. But it didn't happen. So Moshe Rabbeinu didn't lead them into Eretz Yisrael. It was a new kind of leadership. The leader can either pull the people up to him, or if the leader isn't capable of doing that, and that was all the leaders after Moshe Rabbeinu, then the leadership fits the generation. It mirrors the generation. Whatever level they're on, that's what the level the leader is on. They get from the leader, it's more of a symbiotic relationship. Okay, but Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who should have pulled them up and dragged them up, as he did, by bringing up their prophecy to his level by Matan Torah, right? Totally miraculous. And that's why when the Torah describes by the Chet HaEgel, when the people came and they said, we think Moshe Rabbeinu is gone, we need somebody to take his place. And we'd like something a little bit more, less vulnerable, a little bit more permanent, so we'd like a golden calf to take Moshe Rabbeinu's place. And how did they describe Moshe's job description? They said, Kum asei lanu Elohim, make us a power. Asher yelchu lefanenu, who will walk in front of us, a trailblazer. He'll pull us along. That's what they wanted, somebody to take Moshe Rabbeinu's place. So how did they describe Moshe Rabbeinu's leadership? A power that goes in front of us, and we come in the wake of his power, he pulls us along. When Moshe Rabbeinu davened that the Ribbono Shel Olam should replace him and appoint a leader in his place before he died, in next week's Sedra, it says, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Yifkod Hashem Elokei HaRuchos, the God of all of the spirits, in other words, all the different kinds of people, should appoint on the people Ish Al Ha'eda Asher Yetzei Lifnem, who go out from amongst them, Vasher Yavo Lifnem, who come before them, Vasher Yotzeim, who will pull them out and bring them in. But it's a different thing. It's not somebody going in front and pulling them along. It's not a power. It's somebody who can relate to all the different kinds of personalities and work together with them in reaching a higher level. It's a different kind of leader. And that's what I think Chazal mean, or one possible meaning. Chazal say, Pnei Moshe k'pnei Chama. Moshe's face was like the sun, and Yoshua was like the moon. Moshe inspired, influenced the people like the sun brings out the powers of life in this world, heat and light and photosynthesis. The sun is what is the catalyst for all these things. But the moon is only reflective. The moon reflects the light of the sun. It's a reflective light. So too Yoshua reflected the people, and he led them by reflecting them. Masha Enke Moshe Rabbeinu shone his light on them. So that was the difference between the leadership of Yoshua, and that's why when Moshe Rabbeinu told Yehoshua, he charged him with his leadership before he died, he said, you will go with the people. That it's a symbiotic relationship. You're not the one who's over them and doing everything. It's together with the people. And even though God said, no, Yoshua, there's one leader and you're going to have to be the leader, still Moshe described the way that leadership was going to be. Yeah, you're going to be the ultimate decider, but it's going to be commensurate to what the people are. The leader is going to reflect who the people are. Where Moshe Rabbeinu didn't reflect the people reflected Moshe Rabbeinu. Different kind of leadership. Now, in Eretz Yisrael, the new generation were not capable of having that kind of leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu, where Moshe Rabbeinu would shine on them and pull them up. They needed the leadership of a Yoshua, where it was a symbiotic relationship, where he reflected where they were holding, and therefore they couldn't build a Beis HaMikdash that would be eternal, and eventually it had to be destroyed, and they had to go into Golus, and we know the whole system and the whole process of Jewish history. Had Moshe Rabbeinu gone into Eretz Yisrael and built the Beis HaMikdash, it would have been eternal. There never would have been any Golus. But Lamaisa, all of that already was caused by the Chet HaEgel and the Chet HaMeraglin. All the sins that happened before set the seeds for all of this. So Moshe Rabbeinu, either God set him up to let us know in a very subtle way why he couldn't go into Eretz Yisrael. This wasn't the cause. This was just a window dressing to let us know what the cause was. Or God gave him a final chance. If you can pull this off, then you can change the whole situation. And you can bring these people to a level where they'll be on the same level as the people who left Egypt, and you'll be able to go into Israel and pull them up like the sun. If you can't pull this off, then we're back to where we started. You're going to have to stay in the Midbar, wait for the Trias HaMesim, and let a new kind of leadership take over. So I'm not sure which of the two is the case. Maybe a little bit of both. In any case, so what happened over here? So what happened was that Moshe Rabbeinu was basically supposed to speak to this rock, and the Netziv says to learn Torah over it, to daven over it. This was the way that things were going to be in Eretz Yisrael. Until now, everything was open miracles. You needed water, Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock and water came out of the rock. Okay, that was the first time, 40 years earlier. Now God says, we're not hitting any rocks. We're going to learn Torah over the rock. We're going to daven. This is the way it's going to be in Eretz Yisrael. You need water. You have a tiny tzibur. You make a public fast day. You daven. People get up and they speak and they say Divrei Torah. And that's how you get rain. Right? And it's more of a natural process. And that would inspire the Jewish people to the following, Medrash says. They would say the following. They would say, if this rock, which doesn't get any reward, it does God's will without having to be forced, without having to be hit. It's just natural. If you learn Torah and you daven, then naturally just water comes from a rock. If that's God's will, it's so natural. Then we who get rewarded and punished surely should follow God's will naturally. And that would connect them to God in such an automatic way, a natural way. That, and in fact, another Medrash says that was the difference between why Moshe hit the rock in the beginning of 40 years, and why now he was supposed to speak to the rock. It says when you have a child who starts learning, he's not interested in learning, he doesn't appreciate it. You got to hit him and yell at him or whatever to get him to sit down and to learn. But after you're learning with him for years, and he already appreciates the value of learning, you don't have to hit him anymore. Now it's a natural thing. All you have to do is talk to him and explain to him, right, why he should pay more attention or why he should put more effort in or whatever. Because he appreciates now what it's all about. It's more of a natural process. So that's what we said before. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who was pulling them up. Now it reached a point where you have to work together with them. They should be on the level where it's obvious to them. And if Moshe Rabbeinu could pull this off, and connect the people into God in such an automatic, flowing way, then maybe he could be going to Eretz Yisrael. So that's the first thing. That was the first thing he was supposed to do. Also, the Ramban says, God wanted to show how much he wanted to fulfill the needs of the Jewish people. He wasn't angry with them. They didn't have water. Miriam died, the Be'er, right? The well was in her schus. She died, so the well went away. And God intended to bring it back. But he wanted the Jewish people to know, to be thirsty, and to know that he wants to provide their basic needs. So he told Moshe Rabbeinu, he wasn't angry with them, right? Because they complained. They're thirsty. I want them to know how much I love them and want to fulfill their needs. In order for the Jewish people to be connected to God, they have to know quite a few things. One is that doing God's will is natural. It's if you're connected to God, water can come from stones. Nothing that holds anything back. Everything is God's will. And if you connect yourselves to God and you do His will willingly, you're going to be just like the same thing. And God, not only you want to do His will naturally, He wants to do your will. You're connected, you're bonded. Just as much as you want to do what he wants to do what you want. He wants to provide for you. He's not angry with you. That's the Ramban says what Moshe should have had directed them to this idea. And therefore, That's why in this parasha the Torah teaches us how much God is concerned about the money of the Jewish people. HaTorah chos on the monim shisrael. It says that there'll be water for the people and their animals. We have to mention the animals because God is so concerned about you. He doesn't want your money to suffer. Not just you, not. He's concerned. He loves you. He's concerned about you. That's another lesson we needed to be bonded to God. And what's it called? Moshe Rabbeinu, however, thought that the Rabbanu Shem was angry with him. Right here, they're complaining. They don't have water. They're complaining. And Moshe Rabbeinu said they should have been on a higher level. He didn't realize that there's no anger over here. The Rabbanu Shem is doing this because he wants to show them that he wants to fulfill their will and he wants them to fulfill his will naturally, automatically. So Moshe Rabbeinu misunderstood and he got angry. Not that he lost his temper, but he thought he was reflecting God's anger. God's angry at them, so I'm supposed to be angry. But once you get angry when you're not supposed to be angry, few things happen. First of all, you start to make mistakes. Secondly, the impression he gave to the Jewish people is God's angry with us, and he wasn't angry with them. So Moshe Rabbeinu called the people Morim. He said, listen, you rebels. But they weren't rebels. They weren't supposed to now be castigated. God wanted to show them that even if they don't do what's right, he still has a bond with them. And he wants to, provide for their needs, even if they don't do his will, because we're bonded. He wanted them to see how important they were. In order for a person to bond with God, he has to know how important he is to God, and he has to know how important God is to him. That's part of the bonding process. So Jewish people had to be told who they are and what they are. And instead, Moshe Rabbeinu put them down. You're a bunch of rebels. So they begin to think, "What? Maybe we're not so good." So they didn't have their own self-respect, self-esteem, and they didn't realize that they should be doing God's will automatically because Moshe hit the rock instead of speaking to it, meaning that our bond to God needs to be forced. It's not there on the surface. So they lost that too. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't bring them up and show them how bonded they were to the Ribono Shel Olam. And therefore, according to other opinions, Moshe Rabbeinu thought, God's not going to do miracles for these people. They're bad people. They're doing something wrong. When people do things wrong, God doesn't do miracles for them. But he should have showed them, no, even when you're doing something wrong, you're so bonded to God that he'll overlook that for the time being and take care of, because in essence, you're good people. So I want to provide you. I want you to die. We'll worry about later on working out the details and giving you mussar. But right now, we have to take care of your basic need of water, right? Your basic essence is good. So I want you to continue to exist. You do things bad or whatever, we'll work on that. But that's all external. That's all peripheral. That's not the essence. So Moshe Rabbeinu should have felt that God will do miracles even for Jews that aren't doing what's right, because in essence, they deserve it. They're not doing what's right, so we'll work on that. That's a secondary. That's an external thing. And the Malbim says that Moshe Rabbeinu made a mistake to think. He thought there are two kinds of miracles. There's a miracle that totally changes nature. That's where the rock turns into water. Or a miracle that's not natural, but not totally against nature, where water comes from the rock. In other words, could be there's another source and it comes through the rock. That's not so against nature. We have cases where springs spring up and come out of rocks or whatever, cracks in rocks or whatever. So Moshe Rabbeinu thought he was doing this smaller kind of miracle. But the big miracle of the rock turning into water, right, that was only in front of the big tzaddikim. And the whole nation was there. So Moshe thought that big miracle is not going to happen. So he hit the rock. He didn't speak to it that the rock turned into water. But he was supposed to show the Jewish people, you're all big tzaddikim. Not just some special people. The Jewish people as a people are tzaddikim. That's why some say the sin was that he called them morim. Later on he called them mamrim esim. You rebelled against God from the time I know you. He wasn't punished for that. There's a difference between calling the Jewish people rebels or that you rebelled. One describes what they do. The other describes what they are. Moshe Rabbeinu shouldn't have labeled the Jewish people morim. They are not rebels. They are in essence tzaddikim. They're tzaddikim who can rebel sometimes. So we'll work on the rebellion and we'll give them mussar, but their essence is pure. Their essence are tzaddikim, and therefore when we're dealing with water, which is to preserve their essence, we're not going to worry about the peripheral things. We're going to give them water because they're tzaddikim. So Moshe Rabbeinu's sin was that he labeled them as if their essence is something wrong, and therefore they don't deserve this miracle, or not deserve the bigger miracle, all this, and they have to be hit in order to do God's will. It's not a natural bond. All of these things all are the same facets of the same basic idea. Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to give the Jewish people enough to bond them to God, to make them come into Eretz Yisrael on his level. And he didn't. He didn't give them their self-esteem that he should have. He didn't make them feel that doing God's will is a natural for them by speaking to the rock, and that the way to bond to God is through Torah and through davening. Got to be hit. It's something unnatural, something against what your nature is. All the same idea. And he called them morim. He labeled them as rebels. Not that you did something wrong, but that you're rebels. And others say that he should have initiated this miracle. He should have initiated. Before God told him what to do, he should have said, you know what? I know that you people, God wants to preserve you so much that he'll do a miracle if I want him to do it. So he should have, what's it called? He did other cases. He, by Korach, he initiated. He said, God should swallow these people up. And God followed suit. He should have done the same thing over here. But he obviously had his doubts about the worthiness of the Jewish people. So he waited till God instructed him. And the Malbim says that, the Sfarno says, that there's two kinds of miracles. One that shows how much God wants to help you, and the other one, how much the leader is good for you. Moshe did the kind of miracle where he hit the rock. It showed that he was concerned about the Jewish people, but he didn't show how concerned God was about the Jewish people. All these things, all these many different things, if you look at them from what I'm telling you, all are facets of the same idea. And therefore, it says that, what's it called, Moshe Rabbeinu also didn't teach them good midos. Because since he got angry when he shouldn't have, so his anger was the result of not a good midah, even though we didn't lose his temper. But he thought that God was angry with them, so he emulated God's anger. But God wasn't angry with them, so his anger was misplaced. So basically, how do you bond to God? By getting his character traits, by emulating him. And Moshe Rabbeinu didn't teach them that either. So what was the bottom line, the problem over here? Moshe Rabbeinu was given an opportunity to bond the Jewish people with God, that he could bring them into Eretz Yisrael on his level. And he wasn't able to do it. And that's what it says. Yan lo hemantem bi. Not you didn't believe in me, but you didn't give over that belief into the Jewish people. Hemantem. You didn't transfer that belief into them. You didn't bring them up to the level of your belief. And lo hemantem bi means also you didn't believe in the Jewish people. And if you don't believe in the Jewish people, you don't believe in God, because he chose us. Because God chose us, and he thinks that we are something special. And if we don't recognize that we're something special, then we don't really believe in God. Then we don't have faith in him. Right? You think I would choose the people who are a bunch of rebels? So obviously, I don't look at them like that. Right? Yes, they can do things wrong, but that's not their essence. So Moshe Rabbeinu had a lack of faith in God by having a lack of faith in the Jewish people. And he didn't transfer, is a better word I'm looking for, he didn't give them that belief that they should have had to bond them to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Therefore, it says, part of the sin was ma'altem bi. Mi'ila means you changed. You didn't do it the way that I wanted it done. You changed it. And because of that, marisim, you rebelled against me, right? Even though it wasn't on purpose, but basically it was a rebellion. Because you didn't follow what I told you exactly. So you changed it, which ultimately was a rebellion, and you didn't therefore transfer that, inspire them with that belief they could have had. You weren't able to bring them up to your level, therefore you can't bring them into Eretz Yisrael. They need a different kind of leader. They can't have a leader anymore who's supposed to raise them up by their bootstraps, but a leader who's more reflective, and they'll work it out together. And therefore, whether it actually could have been, and they didn't do it, or it never could have been, and God just wanted to have a showcase trial to let the people know why Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't going in, and Aaron. And saying that's why the answer is why Aaron. What did Aaron do? According to most opinions, Aaron should have corrected Moshe, right? And that's why he was also punished. According to this, no, the whole thing was from before. It was because they just weren't able to bring the people to the level to come into Eretz Israel, and this new generation would have to be dealt with differently. They needed a different kind of leader. But God wanted the people to see that, so he staged this whole showcase to let them know that they're not up to doing this. It's not going to work. And that was the or that he gave them one final chance. If you can pull this off, then Taki, you can bring them into Eretz Yisrael. If you can't pull it off, then you're not going to go in, not because you punished what you did over here, but because if you had been able to pull this off, things would have changed. But without pulling this off, then you weren't able to go in, just like Miriam died, right? She didn't do anything wrong. It's just that's not the leader for the people going into Eretz Yisrael. You are the leader of the people in the desert. You're going to have to wait until you can finally bring them in. And bring them in as Moshe Rabbeinu can bring them in, not as Yoshua can bring them in. So that is, I think, and that's why later on Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Vayisaber Hashem bi lema'anchem, or the biglalchem, because for your sake and because of you. It's because you were not capable of relating to my kind of leadership. Therefore, for your sake, God said, I can't. I have to stay in the Midbar. I have to die in the Midbar. I can't come into Eretz Yisrael." It's not that he's blaming them. You caused me, right, to not go into Eretz Yisrael. It's your sins that caused me. No, that's not what he means. Right? It's because God wanted a leader that could fit what you needed. And I couldn't bring you up to the level where I could be that leader. And therefore, it was for your sake, but it was also because of you that I'm staying here. Not that he blamed them for his sin, but because you weren't on the level and I wasn't on the level, that's why I'm not going in. I could have changed that perhaps if everything worked out perfectly by the rock. It didn't. Right? So it's not that Moshe was punished for what he did by the rock. It's just that either the rock was a show of why he couldn't go into Eretz Israel, what was the problem, and all the things that happened by the rock represented all the problems that existed, why Moshe couldn't go in. Or God gave him a final chance and just didn't work out. And then Mela, he couldn't go in. Okay. So I think it's an interesting idea that needs to be thought about. Yeah.
I was wondering, I don't know if I'm getting it right, but are you saying like a teacher needs to teach a student so that they'll be able to give over to the next generation what he gave them and be able to teach, so a leader should be able to teach his followers to also be leaders?
It could be, but that's not really the point over here. Here the point is, Moshe Rabbeinu should have been able to give over to the people how to bond with God. That was his. And these people weren't on the level to receive that from Moshe Rabbeinu. They needed a lower level leader who would work it out with them, and they never would be able to bond with God on the level that Moshe could have bonded them. And therefore, they needed Gullus and Churban and all these other things. That's a long process. But had Moshe Rabbeinu been able to correct that and bond with them and bring them up to his level, then things would have been different completely. But he wasn't capable. They weren't capable. He wasn't capable, and it just didn't work out.
So he didn't really, like you said, have trust that the people, in the people?
Right. As much as he should have, right, he misread God's connection to these people. He couldn't deal with people that were on a level where on the outside they looked like rebels, and on the inside their essence was 100% okay. And Moshe Rabbeinu, because he was so great, right, couldn't fathom that. Right, he prayed for them, he went whatever, but he couldn't bond to these people, right, because they were. And that's why he couldn't bring the door on Midbar. They did too many sins. And these people also weren't on that level. When Tchias HaMesim will come, and all the peripheral things will be corrected, then Moshe Rabbeinu will be able to bring the Jewish people and their essence into Eretz Yisrael. He could handle the people who look on the outside and the inside the same.
But God forgave the people for the head.
Yeah, 100%. But going into Eretz Yisrael was going to be on a much lower level, where the Beis HaMikdash would not be eternal, and there would have to be destructions and be exiles, and it's a long Jewish history, because they weren't able to bond with God on that exalted level of Moshe Rabbeinu. Had they been able to, and Moshe went into Eretz Yisrael and built the Beis HaMikdash, Jewish history would have been completely different. But it could only be different if we deserve it. Because if we don't deserve it, it's terrible. If, for instance, if the Jewish people can't be on that level, and we do sin, and God doesn't have the option of destroying the Beis HaMikdash, then he's not to destroy us. The destruction of the Beis HaMikdash was to preserve us and give us a shot that we'd be able to precipitate a healing process over thousands of years of Golus. But if he didn't have that option, then he would have to deal with us as we were at the moment and destroy us. Not destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Because the Beis HaMikdash was undestroyable. And we weren't on that level.
They were at a higher level than any generation has ever been.
That's it. Maybe had Moshe Rabbeinu been more effective, right, then he would have brought the generation that went out of Egypt to that. Even Moshe Rabbeinu was a human being, yeah.
I think
teaching
is very important and through the situations. But sometimes I haven't got the brains to see how I can
teach
and connect through the situation.
Okay, so since we're not the Moshe Rabbeinus who pull the people up, we reflect what they are, but the main thing is to know your children. And that's what it means, Chanoch l'nar al pidarko. Teach a child according to what they need, where they're holding. And try to connect them to God, right, on their level, what they need, with their strengths, with their weaknesses, with their abilities, capabilities. Most people try to do it the way they would do it, and the children are not the same. So you have to be sensitive to how to reach your children by reflecting who they are, instead of shining maybe too bright on them like a sun, which they're not capable of receiving that sunlight. Bottom line, I think it's a good connection.